Hello, and welcome to Who Cares? This month is a treat because I had the opportunity to talk with Aaron Meldahl, the sake explorer. Aaron lives in Tokyo, where I am right now. I'll be home by the time you're listening to this, but right now here I am, and here we are, talking about something Aaron very much cares about, sake. What do you think would be a significant moment when you thought you were really interested in getting into sake?
Oh, I know. It was not my very first experience with sake. That was when I was living in the United States. But then I came to Japan and there's sake everywhere. And so I would, explore different types of sake. But the point when I really, really, really got into it was when I visited Yamagata Prefecture in the north of Japan, and we went to a brewery that was just out in the countryside, and the people were really nice, and we did some tasting there, and I realized that their sake wasn't even available in Tokyo. And it just struck me that when I then searched on the map, like how many little breweries were all over Japan, and people in Japan didn't even know about these brands or about these breweries. So it made me really want to, my goals with the Sake Explorer is to highlight those small breweries that up to now have not had a lot of media recognition, or even in Japan don't have a lot of market representation. One of the projects I've started is a YouTube series called Sake Science, and it's a little technical, but I think there is a real niche for that knowledge, because a lot of things that people know about sake are anecdotal, and also sake education is very much what people have been told or what's been passed on about sake without really thinking about it critically. And so I want to take things kind of back to the first principles, like, what is, if you're smelling something, what is the actual compound that's causing that smell? Or if it's a problem with the sake, what's the actual chemical process that's going on that causes that problem with the sake? And I think that there's a lot of people who are kind of hungry for that knowledge, people who are selling sake and people who are importing sake and stuff like that. Maybe they don't know, exactly what the process is and what the compounds are, and so there's a lot of, like, even in the awards that sake are given, the descriptions tend to be very flowery and evocative, and I personally don't think that's very helpful for consumers, because a lot of it is just kind of made up. So I think there needs to be a little bit of rethinking about how we talk about sake based on, fundamental principles.
What do you think are some of the major misconceptions people have about sake?
Oh, geez, wow. It really depends on the kind of level of knowledge that people have about sake. I think for people who don't know a lot about sake, the major misconception is that it has to be drunk with Japanese food. And so I will often see people, and I think restaurants also kind of capitalize on this, to sell or drink expensive, extremely aromatic sake with things like raw fish and sushi, and I'm like, I would not pair those things together. That's one of my pet peeves, is just kind of going with something because of the going with a sake because of the label, or because of the the reputation that it has, instead of going with what it actually tastes like or what it tastes best with. So that would be one of the main things, like that it only goes with Japanese food. And then when we get into people who have a little bit more knowledge, I think it's about things like, I think one of the things that is a big misconception that people have is that rice varieties are the same as grape varieties with wine, which is absolutely not the case. So with grapes, you have, you know, red grapes and white grapes and all variations in between, pink ones, you know, very sweet ones, very tannic ones. And the flavor is actually different. I mean, you can taste the difference in the flavor. You can see the difference in the quality of the grapes just with your eyes. But rice does not have that kind of variety. The basic components of rice are basically the same, no matter what rice we're talking about. And there are differences that affect brewing, and there are differences that affect how it can be polished, and if they break easily, and things like that. But there aren't any flavor or aroma compounds that come directly from the rice into the sake. So it's a really, really, really big difference between grapes and rice. But one of the main things I see even people who claim to be knowledgeable about sake doing is saying something like, so-and-so rice gives this sake its fruity quality or something like that. And it's just like, no, that's not where it comes from. So that would be my two main things. There are at least a dozen, if not more, parts of the process that directly affect the quality of the resulting sake. And among the biggest ones, the biggest contributors are, there are two microorganisms that are used to make sake. One is koji, which is a kind of fungus that has to be used to break down the starch in the rice into sugars that can be fermented. And then the next step is to use yeast, which then gobbles up that sugar and changes it into alcohol, but in the process also releases and creates those aromatic and flavor compounds. So it's the type of koji and the type of yeast that are used and how they work in combination that is really the main contributor to the aromatic and flavor profile of the sake. And then on top of that are all of the other steps in the process, such as the how much water you use, how much of different proportions of the rice that you use, the different types of rice that you use, how it's pressed, and things like that. So it's, the problem is that there's not really a recognition of how important each of those steps in the process are. So people kind of look for one thing to kind of latch onto, like, oh, this is because of the rice, or this is because of the water, or this is because of this brewer's technique. And it's not. It's about all of those things in combination. And that's really, again, a really different thing from wine, because wine is dead easy to ferment. You mash the grapes and it will start fermenting on its own.
Yeah. So I'm the sake explorer, so I look for things that I haven't had or haven't, you know, tried before. Konnichiwa. Sashiburi desu.
Konnichiwa.
And also anything that kind of piques my interest, you know. I try to just drink as wide a variety as possible instead of staying with one thing.
What would be a suggestion to somebody who is just getting into sake?
Yeah. if you're lucky and you're in New York, I would say there are actually three breweries in and around New York now. There's Brooklyn Kura and Kato Sake Works in the city, and then there's Dasai Blue and Hyde Park. So I would say start with the things nearby that are, you know, that they're going to be good quality and not overpriced, and find what you like. And also there are lots of places to drink in the city. So that would be my recommendation for people who have access to that, is start with what's accessible and in a price range that's not crazy, because the imported sake is, you know, 3 to 4 times the price that it is in Japan. So that's kind of the hurdle for people getting into it. Unfortunately, for people who are in the boonies and in Wisconsin, where I'm from, the selection can be really limited. So again, there's nothing wrong with just starting out with things that are at an accessible price point, and do you like it or not? And then work from there, kind of thing.
What's the comment on hot or cold?
It depends on the sake. Some can be both, can be drunk both ways. Some are better cold, some are better hot. And that's a little hard for people to know. But again, don't be afraid to take a little bit, drink it chilled, drink it at room temperature, drink it warmed, and see what is your preference. There's no wrong way to drink it. And I think that is something that's hung over from the wine industry as well, is that people think that they're going to be doing something wrong if they drink it the wrong way. And there's not really, however you like it, that's the way to drink it.
You've been listening to
Who Cares?
I'm Lila Friedland, and this episode was a conversation with Aaron Meldahl, the sake explorer. Aaron lives in Japan and is currently writing a book about sake, and you can find out more about that and him on Instagram at the.sake.explorer. And also more info about Aaron on my show page. Just go to wavefarm.org and you can find all manner of links there, including a link to donate and support community radio. Do it. Thanks for listening. Tune in at this same time next month for another 15 minutes of something someone cares about.